Our second reading this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Hear now the word of the Lord. They came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, the man regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. This is the word of the Lord. I think that names and their meanings and histories are fascinating. Once upon a time, I used to write plays and short stories, and I really enjoyed giving characters names that reflected their personalities or subtly foreshadowed something that would happen to them. I'm quite proud of the fact that my name means weary, although that's a story for another day. New parents today in our culture don't always choose names because of their etymological meaning. Some of you might be named after a family member or dear friend, after a favorite actor or historical figure or fictional character. Some families give all of their children the same initials or vowels or find some other way to tie names together. My brothers and I all have two-syllable, four-letter names containing an A and an L. In the Bible, names are often important. Abraham very appropriately means father of the multitude, since his descendants are as numberless as the stars. Jacob quite fittingly means supplanter, since he stole his older brother's birthright. Moses, who narrowly escaped death as a baby and later led the Israelites out of Egypt, means saved. In today's story, we have two names that are worth exploring. We are introduced to Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. But the name Bartimaeus literally means son of Timaeus. Bar means son. You might be familiar with the Jewish tradition of bar mitzvah, where when a boy turns 13 and has a religious ceremony to mark his coming of age. Bar mitzvah means son of the commandment, recognizing that he is old enough to understand and live by God's laws. Girls have bat mitzvahs because bat means daughter. Anyway, son of Timaeus, Timaeus' son. It's a bit like Johnson, the son of John. It's a bit redundant, but it's interesting that Bartimaeus is described on a very surface level, the way that other people see him. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar. Who his father is. What his body cannot do. What his place in society is. So the son of Timaeus is sitting by the road and calls out to the son of David. It's a dangerous thing to yell. They're in Jericho, an ancient city even in their time. A city full of Roman guards and imperial power. But a man sitting by the road cries out a loud reminder that Rome is not the only power, that the rightful heir to another kingdom is passing by, a reminder that everything in the world would change if and when that heir took the throne. The crowd tries to shush him. It might be that it makes the crowd feel uncomfortable for a beggar to be yelling. I think it's more likely that the crowd doesn't want to catch the attention of Roman guards who are probably within yelling distance. After all, this story is immediately followed by Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, which, as we all know, is followed pretty soon after by Jesus' arrest. Acknowledging the power of Jesus in front of Rome is a dangerous thing to do. I said that there are two names in today's story that are worth exploring. The first name is Bartimaeus. The second name is Jesus, which is a form of the name Joshua, which means God saves. God saves. It's a very fitting meaning to the name of Jesus. I don't know what Bartimaeus knows or has heard about Jesus, but he understands that this man is powerful. When Jesus calls him, Bartimaeus throws off his cloak and springs up from the ground and comes to him. Like I said, this story is immediately followed by Jesus' entry into Jerusalem that we traditionally remember on Palm Sunday. In Mark's gospel, though, Jesus isn't greeted by the waving of palm branches. Instead, people lay their cloaks on the ground as he passes by. So the fact that Bartimaeus throws off his cloak transitions perfectly into the next part of the story just a few lines later. Anyway, Bartimaeus comes to Jesus, and Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" Before I was ordained 4 years ago this month, I met up with the pastor emeritus of my home church. He asked me what about this church made me excited to be on my way to serve it. He also asked me what I was nervous about going into ministry at my first call. I admitted that I was a bit anxious about being asked to pray on the spot. I didn't grow up in a family that prayed, and while I've never had a problem with public speaking, I would really like to have a script or at least a plan ahead of time. His advice was to ask people how I could pray for them. It immediately gives a foundation of a prayer to build on, and also gives the person an opportunity to share a concern that hadn't come up in our conversation. I also don't assume to know what it is that people need or what is most important to them. I never thought to make the connection until this week, but for Jesus to ask, "What do you want me to do for you?" is something like his version of asking, "How can I pray for you?" Jesus knows us, but Jesus still listens to us. Jesus knows Bartimaeus more than who his father is, more than what his body can or cannot do, more than what his place in society is. Even so, he asks the man a question, because our relationship with God is an ongoing dialogue, not a one-sided lecture. Bartimaeus has been described to us the way that other people see him, but here, he claims his own identity by choosing to have a personal connection and relationship with Jesus. Bartimaeus calls him my teacher, which is interesting because this conversation is their first interaction. Jesus can't really have taught him anything, not yet. Bartimaeus is saying that he wants Jesus to be his teacher, that he wants to become a student and a follower. Bartimaeus doesn't have any control over who his father is or whether or not he is blind, but since he is blind, he has no option except to be a beggar. But to be a follower of Jesus is a new identity that he has chosen for himself. It is the identity of Bartimaeus that Jesus sees, not how other people see him, but who he really is, what he has chosen to be. Bartimaeus asks to be able to see again. He couldn't have seen it yet, but I like to think that Jesus smiled and nodded, and maybe raised his hand in blessing. Jesus says to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Jesus doesn't ask anything in return. He doesn't ask Bartimaeus to come with him, or to go offer a sacrifice, or to pray, or to tell others about him, or to like or comment on one of our videos, or share this sermon with a friend, so that the algorithm is told it's worth watching or listening to, and makes it visible to more people. Bartimaeus follows Jesus anyway, because a man with that kind of lineage, and that kind of power, and that kind of mercy, is a man worth following. And so the son of Timaeus and the son of David journey on together, away from Jericho towards Jerusalem, along with a group of other followers that Mark describes as a large crowd. Because Jesus has a way of attracting all kinds of people, even the people on the margins of society, because there is room for all kinds of people as they follow the way of Jesus together. May we find our places among them, where we are known for who we are, not how others define us. And may we, like Bartimaeus, be made well by our faith in the name of Jesus, which means God saves. Amen.